praying that we would get a closer walk with Jesus. I didn't pick out the songs, but it worked pretty good as a segue. Segway is one of the motorcycles that you stand on, right? You drive this way. That's all I know. And love you, Wendy. You can say you're such an idiot. That's okay. It's a segue. Yo, you'd never say that out loud. Yeah. I'm in one of those moods. Can you tell? I'm like, I am on a roll, buddy. Butter me up. Now, so anyhow.
You're already buttered
up. I'm already buttered up. Butter, butter. We're talking about the counsel of God. We finished up last week, kind of like in a halfway part of the sermon. We need God's counsel, especially in the time where there appears to be no real light. So little real direction. Everywhere you look, it's like contradicting each other. There, one says this, another says that. One says this way, another says that way. Praise God for His Word. Because God's counsel never changes. It's always pointing to one thing, one person, one ideal, and that is Christ Jesus. Our problem is, as the body of Christ, or as humans, all right, I'll just put it that way. Let's not blame all this on the church, but as humans, we tend to listen to the latest and greatest and newest, whatever it is. And who here has been greatly deceived about the latest and greatest, newest, whatever it is? Right? Amen? We all have. Who's ever been deceived by the counsel of God? Never. Will God tell you something that you don't like? Especially if it's for your good. Amen? He will tell you things that you don't want to hear. He will show you things that will make you cringe. But in that cringing, in that understanding, His love for you is over top of it all. There's a big word there, but God wouldn't let me say it. Praise God. But He is over top of all that. His love is in all of those things. And if we would but listen, not with our outer ears, but with our inner ears. Like in the Revelation, when Jesus is talking to the church, He says, He who hath an ear, let them hear. All right? Everybody out there had ears, but not everybody could hear what the Spirit of God was saying to them. He's telling us to look deeper into the counsel of God. There's a spiritual truth to the physical facts. God wants us to hear what the spiritual truths are. Not holding on to this ideal of the things that are around us, but holding deeply to the ideal that He is outside of our reality. He's above those things. He sees the beginning from the end because He's not involved. Well, when I say involved, He is involved in our now time, but He's outside of the confinements of time. That's why His counsel is always perfect. Because He knows the start from the beginning and all the little parts in between. He knows what's best for you. And His counsel desires to drive you and bring you to what's best to you, for you. And His counsel that is best for you may not be evidence in the time that you're at. God will tell you as you come up in a crossroads, right? He says, I want you to turn right. And you're saying, no, I want to go left. He says, no, trust me, turn right. No, I want to go left. All right, I know left looks easier, but really, if you trust me and you take my counsel, you turn right here, it's going to be a better way. Because if you go left, there's a bridge out about 50 miles down the road, right? You won't see that. God sees that. His counsel is always perfect. His counsel is always right. Our thing is we don't often listen to the counsel of God. Because more times than not, we don't understand the counsel of God. Now, and remembering that this, we're talking about the seven attributes or the seven spiritual understandings of who God is. And in that, I got it written on the back of the board over there. We've gone over it several times. We're in this place of the counsel of God. This counsel is a great understanding of who God is. And Colossians chapter 2, and before I get into this, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness and grace, Lord. I come even now, Father, I pray that as I speak, Your word would be heard. Lord, I pray that I would just be a mouthpiece. Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would work to the people. Lord, and if you would just allow me to relax inside of you, if you would just allow me to follow your counsel perfectly, Lord, just for the next few moments. Lord, would you put that on me that your people may hear what you would have to say to them? Father, I ask that. I come before you asking for wisdom. Lord, that you would use this time. Father, and I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as I'm speaking these things, I'm speaking way above my pay grade. Right? I'm speaking things that are too high for me to even talk about. But God. Amen. This teaching is above who I am. It's above my intellectual understanding. But God. He's going to lead us into what real counsel is. And Colossians chapter 2, and if we'll pick up, say, in verse 6, or verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. So walk ye in him is the counsel of God. Alright, that's what he's talking about. Alright, you have received Jesus Christ, now walk in the counsel of God. Walk in the understanding of who he is. Walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, meaning Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sin, of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. We're buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. All right, now, looking at what he's talking about as the counsel of God, verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. When you were born again, remember what he born you from? Do you remember who you were before Christ? Do you remember your old lifestyle? Do you remember your old way of thinking? Do you remember the way you used to live in the flesh? All right, now when Jesus saw you, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you, right? You didn't have to get better to get Christ. You had to get Christ to get better. And as Christ came and he grabbed a hold of you in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your ungodliness, in the midst of your nakedness, and he clothed you with his righteousness, and he illuminated you with his mind, his spirit, his wisdom. Now he's giving you counsel. Now that you have that ability, that kinetic power inside of you, now that you have that, it's time that you walk in that understanding of who he is. Right? It's more than just the verbalization, the talking about it. It is the walk inside of it. God desires us to be holy. He desires us to be established. He desires us to have a mind that a mind and a lifestyle that would glorify him in all things. And since he gave us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that we looked at last week from John 14, he gave us that Spirit, his Spirit, to dwell in us. And now that he dwells in us, he gives us direction into how much truth? All truth. And what does he remind us of? Everything Jesus did. Why do you think God would be reminding us through the Spirit of God of everything that Jesus did? That's his counsel for us. We're supposed to be conforming our lives into the image of the Most High God. I cannot do that without the indwelling power of the Most High God. I need the Spirit of God in me. You need the Spirit of God in you. And you must be obedient to the unctioning of the counsel of God that is within you. If you do not listen and obey to the Spirit of God that is in you, then you are, I can't think of another word than this. It sounds horrible. You're a bastard. You are a child, a fatherless child. You call yourself a Christian, but you don't walk in the ordinances of God. You're not walking in the counsel of God. God says, you're drawing near to me with your mouth, but your heart's far from me. You're not listening to what I do. Then you're really none of mine. Because if you were listening to the counsel of, if you were really and truly born again, a true child of the living God, his counsel would be active, alive, and living in you in such a way that your life would represent who Jesus Christ is. When the world would see you, that's who they would see, is Christ Jesus. Amen. All right? And Paul warns us here. He warns the church in Colossae. He says, beware. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. This here tells me, the Word of God tells me that I need to be alert. There are two counselors that are going on in the world all the time. Amen. Right? There's a counsel that is the rudiments of this world. There's a counsel that comes from man. There's a counsel that only comes from the science that mankind can see. And they think everything that was made out of the things that are on the earth. Right? They think that again, the primordial ooze and a lightning struck and it became a single-celled amoeba and it got tired of being amoeba after a while and it became a fish and it got tired of being a fish, became an amphibian and it got tired of being an amphibian, then it became a monkey, got tired of being a monkey and it became you. Right? Over millions, billions, trillions. That's what the world science tells you. The world of science tells you that you can be born either male or female, but you can reject that and become something else. That's what the world, that's what the rudiments of man, the wisdom of man will teach you. But what does God say? The counsel of God says that you were made in the likeness of the Most High God. That he scooped up the earth that he spoke into existence. He spoke the dirt into existence, right? All these smart scientists said, I can develop something. He says, well, again, make your own dirt. Right? Start with nothing and make something. Everything we have, science, it starts with something and then tries to build something else out of it. God says, I started with nothing. I spoke everything into existence. That's the counsel of God. Counsel of science is something different. Well, which counsel are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the philosophy of man? Philosophy of man says, do your best and you'll get to heaven. Oh, you're good enough. Oh, you're so good. Everybody says, I'm so good. I'm going to make it. In fact, what was it, Mark, you saw on a church? Everybody goes to heaven. In the end, everybody goes to heaven. Well, then why did God say, if you don't walk with me, then you're going to hell? Who's right? That church sign or the living Word of God? I see you, Lance.
Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. I love you.
I lived in North Carolina for 3 years, and I seen this sign on a church. It said, Jesus saves, we have donuts. All together. I don't really contemplate it. It's almost like, okay, there's spirit, there's truth, and then there's the physical.
Yeah.
I never even
Jesus saves, we have donuts. I think we'll use that on our sign next week. Come for free breakfast. Jesus saves. Yeah. Anyhow, great thinking, Lance, for that. Because, again, you've seen the two different signs.
And on the same sign. The spirit, the truth, and the physical.
Yeah.
Like, all together. That's not how Jesus wants us to worship.
Never supposed to be. We're supposed to worship in spirit and truth, right? It's not about the pizzang of this world. It's not about the deceit. Beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil means to plunder you, to take you captive, right? Don't let any man take you captive through vain philosophy. Plato, all right? I ate every flavor of Plato. Didn't make me smarter. You can study that stuff, flatten it out. It just didn't do any good. I mean, anyhow, those, man, I'm sorry. You can tell it's one of those days, right? It's just one of those days. I breathed way too much dust yesterday, digging up floors. And so, vain deceit. Mankind will always make you vain. You are good enough. You know, Bill, you're better than that guy over there, right? All right, since, you're good. You're so good, you're better than Hitler, right? Barely, but you're better than Hitler. That is that root, that's that vainness of God, all right? So when you compare yourself to me, you might be way better than me, right? You could very well be. I doubt it, but you might be. You could be there. But still, you're holding yourself to the wrong standard. We're supposed to be, that's the vainness of the world, right? The vainness of the world tells you you got to look a certain way, you got to talk a certain way, you got to be a certain way. God says, I made you. I put a character in you that is different from everybody else's character. Amen? And you are perfect the way you are. You don't need any augmentations, right? You don't need your facelift. Unless you're frowning all the time. If you're frowning, smile. That's the only facelift you'll ever need, right? You don't need any of that other stuff that man will do to you. The world tells you you need to look like this. You need to act like this. You need to be this way to fit inside of the mold of the world. God says you don't need to fit inside of the mold of the world because you are in Christ Jesus, and my counsel will bring you out of darkness and into light, and you are accepted in the Most High God. Which do you want to be? I want to be in Christ. I don't. How about you guys? Which do you want to be? Say it like you mean it.
In Christ. All
right. Amen. Praise God. Right?
I want to be.
No, come on. I want to be in Christ. I want to be guided by Him. I want to be led by Him. I want His eyes to give me direction. I want the Spirit of God to be such a counselor on the inside of me that His evidence is living through me, that I'm a conduit of His grace and goodness. I want you to be such Christian people, such people that are anointed with the Holy Spirit, that are guided by the hand of God so much that when the world sees you, all they see is the love of God in you. All they see is His grace, His goodness, His virtue in you. I want the world, when the world sees you, they see the love of God pouring out of you. Even though they hate you, even though they slay you, you love them the way that Christ loved you. That's what I'd like to see. Not to be just do it, right? Grab the gusto. I want you to be holy and set apart for Him. Walk ye in Him. Again, Colossians 2 and 6. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. This is the counsel that gives us direction. And He adds to it that we need to be rooted and built up in Christ, in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding. Church, where is the abounding today? Are we abounding, or are we just surviving? Oh, come on. Because things are about ready to get rough in the world. God is about ready to unplug some things that are horrible to think about. But God gave us the spirit of counsel that we can abound in these things. The world is thirsty and they're going to be looking. The world is wet. They're going to be looking for a dry place. Or the world is dry and they're going to be looking for a place that they can get nourishment, that they can get that living water. What are we supposed to be? What's the counsel of God tell us that we are?
Fountains of living water.
Huh?
Fountains of living water.
Fountains of living water. Exactly right. We are fountains of living water. We are that wet space in a dry land. We're the light shining into the darkness. We're the city that's built on a hill. We are his people. But if we don't take the counsel from the Godhead, if we don't start listening to what the Bible says, who we are in this time, we're going to not be everything that we could be in Christ.
We don't know our birthright.
We don't know our birthright. Amen. We really don't understand the power that is in us through the counsel of God, because we're not listening to the counsel of God. We're listening and trusting Fauci or some other scientist or whatever. It's coming really, really quick where the world is going to try to shut down the church again. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of churches that close the first time, they'll close again this next time.
Maybe for good.
Maybe for good. The ones who stay open like this one, we will be persecuted and hated. See, the Council of Man is already saying those who don't get vaccinated, they're the reason other people are dying. That's not true. The Council of God says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. It is appointed people are going to die, whether there's a virus or no virus. Not one person has ever, ever died outside of the will of God. That might shock you, because you'd say, well, he died, I don't think it was the will of God. It doesn't matter what you think. Right? God said, this is the time. Now, we can shorten our time by doing stupid stuff, but remember, God's outside of that time, and he knew the stupid stuff you were going to do before you did it, which led to your premature departure. Right? But see, God was sovereign in all of that stuff. The problem is those people who did stupid stuff were not listening to the counsel of God. God says, don't be drunk with wine. Why not? Because you'll turn yellow, your liver will quit. All right? Don't smoke cigarettes and dope. Why? It's not that it's illegal before God, but it's going to cause you cancer and make you stupid. They don't call it dope because it's brain food. Okay? It's dope for a reason. Don't do those things. Stay away from sorcery. Stay away from that. The counsel of God says, keep yourself holy. Right? If you're not in marriage, do not have sexual relationships. And if you ever do have sexual relationships, it's male and female. It's not dude and dude. It's not chick and chick. The world says you can do that. The Bible says you can't do that. That's an abomination before God. Go ahead, Lance. You want to preach?
No. When you were talking about marriage, it's not just woman and man, but it's woman and man and God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a spiritual bond.
Amen. I love you, brother. See, counsel in the direction of Christ is to be a root. The root's purpose in any living organism, the roots is what brings the necessary nutrition to the thing that is growing. Did you see that? The root system of any plant, the whole reason that there's a root system is it draws the nutrients from around it and brings it into the plant that the plant can produce fruit. The counsel of God is where we're supposed to be taking our stuff in, our intelligence, our understanding, our root system. We're supposed to be grafted into the vine. The vine goes down into the ground and it has a root system. That root system sucks in the nutrients from God and it pulls up through the Spirit of God, through that living water, and into the branches, and the branches therefore bear fruit.
Root also stabilizes.
Amen. And root stabilizes. Absolutely. The root's what gives it the ability to stand, a stalk to stand straight. See, that counsel of God is supposed to be that root system for the Christian. How are we supposed to really stand if we don't take the counsel of God? How are we really supposed to grow and be strong if we don't take the counsel of God? If we just, oh, that's an archaic book. It was written by men thousands of years ago. That has nothing to do with you. If that's what the church is believing, and unfortunately, a lot of the people who call themselves Christians are believing that garbage. And that's not true. God's word never changes. His counsel never changes. It's always the same. When God says, don't touch it, there's a reason you don't touch it. If he says, don't eat it, don't drink it, don't say it, there's a reason for that. Don't gossip.
What do you mean, don't gossip? I like to gossip.
Listen. I was getting excited. It wasn't a woman's voice, really, really. It was a girly man.
You said gossip and then.
Yeah. Right. No gossip.
There you are.
I'm going to bump you up. No, so don't gossip. Don't get into that. Because once you unleash it with your mouth, you cannot take it back in. Once you start it, it's like starting a wildfire. You can't bring it back in. It's like taking a pillow and ripping it open and start throwing the feathers out. Right? And then you want to put the pillow back together. You can't go collect all those feathers because they've been blown by the wind. They're all over the place. You can't put it back in. So once you start running the diarrhea of the lips and spreading that garbage everywhere, whether it's true or not, you start doing that, you can't put it back in. And the counsel of God says, don't gossip. Don't say those things. Don't talk that way. Well, what? Why not? It was true. No. If I got a problem with you, I need to go to you. Right? I'm looking at Val. He's been out of town for way too long. Right? And so, see, man's philosophy is going to spoil you. It's vain deceit. It's after the traditions and the rudiments of this world. And it's not after Christ. So we need to make up our minds as a body of Christ. Who are we going to believe? Who are we going to follow? What is true and what is not true? The counsel of men always teaches worldly philosophy. It's always vain. It's always based in deceit. It's always a lie. How do you know it's the counsel of God? It's true. All right? Well, what is truth? Well, that's the greatest question that Pilate ever asked. Right? What is truth? Well, truth was standing right before him. Jesus said, I am truth. So what is truth? It's Christ. It's Jesus. It's the Messiah. It's the Godhead Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit in you. That is what truth is. Truth never changes. It never changes. And the cool thing about truth, if you only speak truth, you don't got to remember the lie you told yesterday. Or try to tell another lie to cover that lie up. Just speak the truth. Honey, does this dress make me look fat if I'm wearing a dress? Right? No, it's not the dress. No, you're just fat. No, don't say that. All the women are saying, don't say that. Speak the truth in love. All right? So there would be a good way to say that. I saw Steve back there and I said, that's what he would say. You can tell it's one of those days, can't you? Man, it's just one of those days. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If we really trust in the wisdom and the counsel of this present age, we will become useless to the call of Christ. You know that? If we really start believing in the counsel of this world rather than the counsel of God, in the hands of God, we become a useless tool. Anybody here ever have an adjustable wrench? Right? We all ought to have one. You know, that's why I took apart my first bicycle was an adjustable wrench. Well, when that adjustable wrench gets laid out and gets all rusted and corroded up, you can't use it. It's kind of stuck in that spot. I mean, yeah, you can sandblast it, get the rust out and all that. I know there's a way to fix it. But in general, that wrench is pretty much useless. It's froze shut. It's been corroded by the elements of this world. Where God says, listen, if you really love me, if you really wanted to be with me, let me lubricate your gears, all right? I will always lead you into righteousness. I will always lead you into truth. I will always take you out of darkness into the light. I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the counsel of God. The counsel of God says, I will teach you how to love the unlovely. The counsel of God says, I will give you power over demons. The counsel of God says, I will make you well when the world will make you sick. The counsel of God says that I have everything that you need and I gave it to you. Your immune system is good enough. You know that? What God already has in you is good enough. You don't need a poke from a so-called vaccine. You don't need that in your body. What you need is the proper amount of vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. All right? I'm no doctor, and I don't play one on the weekends. But I do know this, that God gave us the physical elements that we need for life, for righteousness, for happiness, all right, for true joy, for the blessings of God. He gave us all that in a counsel, in a book. And if we would just take this and apply it to our life, we would be well. We would be holy. We would be set apart. If we would only do what the Bible tells us to do. If we would only apply those things. Isaiah 30 verses 1 and 2 puts it this way. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. All right, that's the first one. Listen to what Isaiah, the prophet, said. Woe to the rebellious children. If you're taking counsel from anything that is not God's word, you are living in rebellion to the Most High God. And God says, woe, warning, cursing, take caution, take a deep breath. Woe to those who don't take counsel from the Lord and cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. All right, look really careful at what Isaiah just said, chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to flip over there. I wrote it down here, but I want to have my Bible open. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, yay, Isaiah 30. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Because I want to make sure that that we are there. Okay, Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. Who's saying woe?
Woe.
Woe. All right, what does woe mean?
Stop.
It means stop. Amen, stop. Woe to the rebellion. If you're living in rebellion to the counsel of God, stop. All right? Woe to the rebellious children that take counsel but not of me. If we're listening to any other counsel outside of the Word of God, stop it. It will lead you to death. It will lead you to unrighteousness. It will lead you to a blank, empty hole in the middle of your life. And God doesn't want that out of you or in you. He says, woe to that. You're taking counsel, but not of me. Oh, church, who are we taking counsel from? Body of Christ, who are you listening to? Is it Facebook? Is what you're listening to Twitter? Is what you're listening to the science of this world? Are you listening? Do you really trust the government with your health? I don't trust the government to fill a pothole. Right? Listen to God. Listen to what He has. They're taking counsel, but not of me. And that covering with that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Okay, I'm the government. I'm here to help. You're taking a covering. Don't go back to work. There's a virus out there. Don't go back to work. Stay in your basement. Be like Biden. Stay in your basement. Right? Be afraid of everything. Take your covering from the government. The government will protect you. The government will send you checks. Don't worry about it. You're safe under the wings of the United States government. The Constitution will help you and protect you. You have the Bill of Rights. Don't fight back. It's okay. Amen. That is taking counsel from the world. Now, don't get me wrong. I love our Constitution. I love our nation. I really do. Praise God for it. But my faith, my hope, my counsel is not from here. My counsel is from the Word of God.
Amen.
This doesn't change. The Constitution of these United States is soon to be ripped out of the halls of wisdom in this nation. the Bill of Rights, pretty soon, before you know it, the Socialist Party is going to take over this nation, and your Constitution, the Bill of Rights that's founded this nation, is going to be chunked out as an archaic document. Ocasio Cortez already said it was going to be. Our president already has admitted it. But that's the thing. What does the Word Council of Word says? What's God's word? What does God's word say? It says, don't worry about the kingdoms of this world, right? He says, don't worry about your rights. Hey, Christian, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you ain't got no rights. Doesn't that shock you? You have liberties through Christ Jesus, but you ain't got no rights. He tells you where to go. He gives you counsel. You do what he says. You can't say, oh, God, I don't want to do that, but you're still my God. No. Either he's Lord or he's nothing. Now, when he's Lord, what does that mean? That means no matter what he says, you do it. You don't ask questions. He says go, you go. He says stay, you stay. He says pray, you pray. He says fight, you fight. He says relax, you relax. He says stand, you stand. He says jump, you say, how long, sir? And you do it until he tells you to stop. That's the counsel of God. Now, God will never lead you into anything that is evil or unrighteous. So he says, stop listening to the garbage coming over the airwaves. Stop listening to the prince of the power of the air. Stop listening to Fox News, because that's not true. Stop listening to any of the news channels, because they are only lying to you. Across the board, none of it is true. Jesus said, I am coming again. Jesus said, there's some things you need to look out for. That there's a new world order coming to this world. And to understand that, you need to be in Christ Jesus. You need to be in his doctrine. You need to be in his counsel. Your faith must be in him and not in the things of this world. So if you're looking to the world to save you, you will be lost. The world does not, if you're born again, the world does not like you. It didn't like Christ, and it won't like you. The world is not supposed to have anything for us. See, not taking of his spirit, as it says, that they may add sin upon their sin. Did you see how Jesus, how that was worded there? Not of my spirit, that they may add sin upon their sin or to their sin. They're already sinning, but as you take the counsel of sinners, of ungodly people, that just compounds it. It multiplies it. It gets deeper, twice as fast, twice as quick. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Or you decline and you degress and you move further and further and further from the counsel of God as you listen to the counsel of this wicked world. Those, verse 2, that walk not down into Egypt and have not asked my mouth to strengthen them in the strength of Pharaoh, and to go and trust the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be their shame. Did you see what he just said? Church, if you're listening to the world's counsel, that's going to be your shame. When you stand before the God of judgment, and he's going to say, you trusted the world over my word, my counsel? You trusted the darkness over light? Shame on you! Church, come on. And they trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. He keeps on talking about the same thing. I'm scared for the body of Christ. I really am. I worry about those confessing Christians that are not walking after the counsel of God. I worry for them because I know I trust my Bible, and God says, if you're trusting this world, if you're trusting the things that are of this world, then you have no security in me. Your security is going to be in Pharaoh. It's going to be in the world's security. And far as I can tell, it tells us from Peter that this world is going to burn with a fervent heat. The elements of this world are going to melt. There's coming a day that God's going to let go. And when he lets go, there's nothing of this world that's going to be left. Amen. It's desolation. But God, right? Today, right now, in your heart, in your mind, in your life, you need to understand whose counsel you're taking, right? Who are you getting counsel from? And if you're getting it from the world, it's time to change who you're getting counsel from. You're going to reap what you sow, right? And if you're tired of the crop that you're having right now, who's tired of the crop that's coming up? Amen? Change your seed bag, right? If you don't like the crop that's happening right now, if you don't like the things that's coming up in this world, then that lets us know what we are reaping right now is seeds that the church planted back there. Right? And we planted the seeds back in the 50s and the 60s and the 1830s, and we planted those seeds of unrighteousness and false doctrine way back there, and now here we are in 2021, and it's time to reap. We have sown to the wind, and we're reaping the whirlwind. That's what the promise of God is. That's the counsel of God. And God says, listen, I can repair it, I can replace it, I can fix it, but first you've got to stop taking the counsel of the world. You've got to change your seed bag. If you want a different crop to come next season, then you need to plant the proper seeds today. We may not be in the last times. It might be another 20, it might be another 50, it might be another 100 years. So what we need to do, what we must do as the people of Christ, is stop listening to the garbage doctrines that have been preached for the last 100 years. We've got to get away from Dr. Seuss says such and such, or Dr. So-and-so. Dr. Seuss, that's my favorite. This highly professed professor from whatever Liberty University, or you name the place. I'm not putting poo-poo on Liberty University or any other. Yes, I am. If they're not teaching solid Bible, they're teaching some other professor that taught some other professor that taught some other professor a bag of wind 100 years ago, and they kept teaching the same vomit over and over. If they're still teaching that, then I am talking about them. We have a counselor, a mighty counselor, a wonderful God. Amen? And he desires to teach you all things. How many things does he want to teach you? He wants to teach me all things, and he gave me a book that leads me into all things, and he gave me a spirit that leads me into all truth. He gave me a counselor that reminds me everything that Jesus the Christ did. Then why am I listening to all these other things? Really? Have you ever thought of it just simple like that? If really and truly we have all truth compiled in this Bible right here, we have everything that we need for life, for... What is that? That's Peter. I give you for life. Huh?
Holiness,
righteousness. He's given us all things that pertain to life and holiness and righteousness. It's 1 Peter somewhere. It just popped into my head. We need to be more like Joshua in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. I still haven't got through my first page of notes. I'm sorry, folks. No, I'm not sorry. 24, 14 through 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. All right? What are we supposed to do to start with?
Fear the Lord.
Fear the Lord. Why are we? All right? This is personal between you and God. Do you fear God? You better. You may say, well, God's all love. I don't have anything to fear. Oh, yeah, you do. Don't think for a second that you've made it. You won't make it until that page gets turned. Amen. You need to fear him, honor him, reverence him, walk in his counsel. When I feared my mom. I didn't fear the guys that she married too much, but I feared my mom. I loved her. I love mom. I love mom. I really do. She made some horrible mistakes in our life, but I love that woman. And when she told me to pick up my room, guess what I did? I picked up my room. Why? Because if I didn't, she was going to come in there with a switch, and she was going to beat me within an inch of my life. She was going to take all of my stuff, dump it out in the floor, kick it around a little bit, holler and scream and throw some things around, and then she was going to tell you to clean up your room. And guess what would happen if you didn't? She would get a bigger switch. All right? I feared my mom. I loved her. She cooked for me. She taught me some things in life. No doubt. Praise God for that. But when she told me to jump, I started jumping. And I jumped until she told me to stop jumping. Why? Because I feared her. I reverenced her authority. Do we fear God? God says, clean up your house. Judgment must begin in the house of God. Stop taking counsel from the world. Start taking counsel from me. Not me, Curtis, but from God. Start taking his counsel. Amen? Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. How are we supposed to serve the Lord? Sincerity and truth. All right? Ask yourself, are you doing that? He says, to add to that, put away the other gods. Put away the other gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. How far does this go back? All the way back to the flood. Our forefathers worshiped things that were not God. They followed the counsel that was not God. And God got fed up with it. And what did he do? He drowned them all except for Noah and his family. Everything else died. Every other human being died. Do we fear God? He says, you serve those things that your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. We must make up our mind whose counsel we're going to follow. Are you going to serve the Lord or not? If you don't serve the Lord, expect the results of the flood in your life.
So,
yep, you said it.
So,
We've got to get right with God. We've got to get these attributes of God squared away in our life. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? Whose counsel is supposed to be paramount in our life? It better be God's, because if not, God will wipe you out. You want meat? He's going to send it to you until it comes out of your nose. He's going to kill you. Right? Isn't that what happened? That God was sending manna. He was sending counsel. He was sending all the things that mankind needed. Israel, all they needed, God was giving it to them. It was manna. They're having manicotti, mayonnaise, I don't know. They're having all kind of banana sandwich. I don't know. They were having exactly what they needed. The counsel, the goodness, the righteousness of God. Everything that they needed was held in that. And it wasn't good enough for them. I desire the leeks that we used to have in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. You want onions? Over God's stuff? You take the counsel of man, you're choosing onions over God's stuff. You start complaining about what you got, and you want something different, God's going to give it to you. Oh, we want a king like the rest of the world. Isn't that what Israel cried out? God said, all right, we're going to give you a king. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to take your daughters, he's going to take your sons, he's going to take you the best of your crop. God's counsel, listen, he said, listen to me. Let me be the God of Israel. Let me be your God. Take your counsel from me. I'll give you life. I'll give you prosperity. I'll give you everything you need. But you chose to take the counsel of the world? All right, here you go. You can have it, big boy. That's your choice. But you choose that, you're not having me. You're not having the righteousness of God. You're not having the holiness of God. You're choosing other things, counsel from other things. I fear for the church, again, still. Because God is a just God and He will give us what we desire. If we really, church, if we really want God in our life, we really want His counsel in our life, He'll give it to you. But you got to want it bad enough to get it. You got to want it bad enough to turn your life from darkness to light. He gave you the power on the cross. He said, it is finished. When He said, it is finished, what was finished? The authority of sin. The authority of sin on your life. Jesus took care of that at the cross. Now, will you listen to Him? He said, the ones who I set free, I have set free indeed. Take the counsel of the one who has the key to whatever is binding you up. Take of me. My yoke is light. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Take of me, Jesus said. Be yoked up to me. Follow my counsel. Follow my lead. Do what I tell you to do. And I guarantee you life and peace and prosperity. I guarantee you love. Now, when I say that, please don't get into the prosperity gospel thing. Well, Jesus said, if I trusted Jesus Christ, I'd have $1 million. No! That's not what I said. But I did say, if you trust Jesus Christ, He will meet you where you are and He will give you what you need. He may not give you what you want. And praise God, I don't get what I want. Right? If I got what I want, I would be such a mess. God's counsel says no. God's counsel is right, it's righteous, it's good. And He says no to some things in my life, a lot of things in my life. I don't need a Bugatti. You know what it is? One of those real fast cars? A Bugatti. It's like a Lamborghini on steroids, man. It's a great, it's some of the best cars that man makes. Oh, I'd love to have one. Anybody out there have a couple $1 million? Want to buy one?
Take a collection.
Yeah, take a collection. And God, yeah, Hot Wheels, there you go. And God said, no, Curtis, if you get a Bugatti, you're going to die. You don't know how to drive fast. I know that you don't have restraint. Lord, make me a billionaire. He says, no, I make you a billionaire, you're going to walk away from me. You don't have the restraint for that. God's counsel says, no. He says, be humble. I say, God, make me smart. He said, no, I'm going to make you a preacher. Those things, God's counsel is always best. He knows what I needed. He knew what I needed to go through to get here. Those men that lived in our house when I was growing up, horrible guys, human garbage. God knew that. He saw me there. When I called out to Him that day on my bed, covered in blood, called out to God, He saw me there. His presence, He covered me there. He cared for me there. Did I see it? No, but He changed me there. He taught me over the years to start taking counsel from Him, His righteousness, His goodness, His fear, His love. And He changed so much of who I was to make me who I am. And you may look at me and say, oh, you ain't nothing. You're right. I am nothing but God. Right? I will never be nothing but God. All I want is His counsel. All I want for you, the church, is to walk in the holiness of God. If we would do that, what the blessings God would have for us. How many blessings we miss because we don't take the counsel of God. God says, don't touch this and you touch it. God says, don't eat this and you eat it. Don't drink this and you drink it. Did He give you those restrictions, that counsel, for your good or for your bad? It's for your good. If I would have never drank alcohol, I would be much more wealthy now. Right? Possibly if I saved half that money I put in those girls' panties? Mm-hmm. Those dancing places? Oh, yeah, sorry. If I would have only followed God in His righteousness instead of my own heart, how much better I would be. But But again, but God. He knew when I would turn. He knew what was right for me. He knew what I had to go through. And with his care and his patience and his love, he brought me through all of that mess that we could be holy before him. Right? God loves us that much. This is just the first line of this so far. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the other gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites. I'm going to put America, all right? We're like that, the god of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. This is the decision part right here. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How about it, church? As for you and your house, who are you going to serve? Facebook? Twitter? U.S. government? What's that doctor, worldwide doctor, the WHO organization? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to walk with? The counsel of the Lord stands unmovable, as an unmovable mountain. The counsel from man, this world, is like shifting sand. It changes from day to day, from moment to moment. But God's counsel is always firm, direct, and perfect. God's the only one who knows the beginning from the end. And if we really believe the Bible, this part that says all things work for good to those who love God and are called for his purpose, do you really believe his counsel that much to trust him beyond what we see? I spoke for a long time, but I had to get through the counsel of God. And again, as much as I have said, I've only scratched the dust off of the surface. The counsel of God is so much deeper than what I can speak. The knowledge of God is higher. The understanding of God is wider. The fear of God needs to be greater than anything that any human can understand. But if we would just, as the woman who was needing healing, would just push our way through the crowd, right? Push your way through the crowd. Grab a hold of the hem of his garment for the healing, for the counsel, for the understanding of the Most High. He will lead you and guide you into the rest, into the comfort, into the peace, into that Psalm 23. Still waters and green grass, covered under the shelter of his wings. That's where his counsel will bring you. You got nothing else to say? The end? Go home? Mm-hmm. All right. What song you got holding up there, buddy?
Bible 6, In Christ Alone.
Oh, amen.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes, ma'am.
I have never thought and I have never said that you are an idiot. I have cringed. I have winced at some of the things you said. I will fess up to that, but I have never.
Amen. Amen. I know you haven't. I love you so much.
I never would do that.
You would never do that because she fears God. She don't want her ankle broken. No, I'm sorry.
See?
You can tell. Didn't all the anointing just stop?
What was that number?
I don't know. What was the number?
506.